Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday night shiur. This evening, we are going to connect Parshas Acharemos with the halachos of Sfiras HaOmer. And thank you for coming, especially on Isru Chag, a little bit of a hectic day. But the Wednesday night shiur is back. And what we're going to point out this evening is that the Torah recognizes the sin of Nadav and Avihu, where things just got a little bit carried away. And we're going to speak about the halachos related to Sfira and the post-Pesach Zman before Lag BaOmer, where the halacha is telling us not to get a little bit too carried away. How does Parshas Acharemos begin? Vayadaber Hashem al Moshe Acharemos Shnei Bnei Aaron Bekorvasam Lefnei Hashem Vayamusu. So specifically, after Nadav and Avihu bring a korban and they die, Hashem tells Moshe to instruct Aaron Va'al Yavo B'chol Eis El HaKodesh. You can't just enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, whenever you want me, based on the Paroch, as El Pnei HaKapores, Ashel Aaron, when are you able to access that holy place, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, below Yamush, without death? Ki be'anan, Eira'e al HaKapores, as we know, only on Yom Kippur, with the special Ketores service, etc., etc. But here, Aaron is being told what not to do, as a result of what his sons did incorrectly. Namely, what did they do? Seemingly, they went somewhere at the wrong time. Argues the Ramban, Kimiyad kasher mesu banav, when Nadav and Avihu originally died, hizer is Aaron min hayayin, umin hasheikh. So right away, Aaron was told, no avod in the base of Midrash when you are intoxicated, otherwise you're going to die. And certainly, Chazal pick up on the juxtaposition. What does that imply? That if Aaron was warned about not doing the avod while drunk, that might imply that Nadav and Avihu also might have sinned in that area of doing something while they were drunk, right? You have to, you know, learn what the connection is. And here, a little bit later, argues the Ramban, V'amar od l'moshe she'azer oso shelo yamus b'kor vaso lifnei Hashem. And then another warning. Not only should you not do the avodah, the service in the Beis Hamikdash while intoxicated, but you can't always bring korbanos lifnei Hashem. There's like a time and a place. There are real restrictions. So that is the Ramban. And the Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, another Rishon, his commentary on the Torah explains, Hizer is Aaron Shelo Yamus Kibanav Bias Mikdash Shelo Kedas. I mean exactly what we're just saying, that Aaron had to be instructed, don't repeat the error of your sons. They brought a korban inappropriately. They entered the base of Mikdash inappropriately. They went over the line. Don't repeat their error. So too, we should not repeat their error. So what I'm going to do now is use this as a springboard, because we need to be controlled. We need to be very well aware, and we need to be made aware of the proper boundaries in halacha. And I'm going to start this evening's halachic shiur with the following question. There is a concept known as a kululam. A kululam is an Israeli, we'll say, organization, maybe officially a social musical initiative, as we'll learn about. And what they do is that they invite people to come sing together. They'll teach people a song, and there's this cool guy with cool hair, long hair, and he teaches everyone the song. If you might have seen the videos, it's pretty amazing, actually. It's very inspirational. And guess what the very popular halachic shaila this Sfiras HaOmer is? In Bergen County, there will be an Englewood kululam. I mean, an Israeli guy with his cool hair is coming to Englewood. Is that okay for someone to go attend the kululam during Sfiras HaOmer? So they're going to be singing a lot. They're going to be taught a song. There will be some music to assist them. There will be singing. So off the bat, so is that a violation of Nadav and Avihu? Going a little bit too far. You know, there's a time and place for everything, and this is not the time and place. Or do you argue that it's okay? This is something that's permissible. So let's keep that question on the back of our minds. We'll learn a little bit about a halacha, and we'll learn a little bit more about kululam, and we'll tell you, we'll say some halachic controversy. You know what, Robert, can you just pass me the box of tissues, please? Amazing, Robert, you should be blessed. I should be blessed. All right, here we go, let's go on. So I'll tell you, the great Goldscheider Shlita was in our midst over Yom Tov, which is pretty cool. There are a couple times where I've been learning Svarim, and I get to like daven next to the author of the Sefer. You know, that like I'm reading, you know, that's always a nice thing. I remember once being on the phone with Rav Baruch Simon, telling him, like, oh, by the way, like, your new Haggadah is awesome, you know? And here I'm loving Rav Goldscheider's new Sefer Al HaTorah, right? The Torah United. And every week I'm quoting it, and all of a sudden, like, there is Rabbi Goldscheider in Shomrei Torah visiting his in-laws, as he likes to do, with his kids. And I'm telling you, we got the shmooze. I Baruch Hashem, at this point, a nice relationship with him. But I'm not that well-versed in Likutei Maharan, Rabbi Nachman's Torah. The only reason I know this Likutei Maharan is because of Rabbi Aaron Goldscheider's Sefer. And the Likutei Maharan of Nachman Breslov explains the following. There's a tremendous koach in dance. When you drink wine, it brings out some of your neshama, and it comes to the chitzonius. Api Chassidus, he's explaining how there's an inner pnimius, and there's a reach nichalach laHashem. When your neshama is like burning with excitement, and you start dancing, your legs are moving, so that's great. But there's another type of dance. Aval misha merakid bislavos hayetzer. What's getting you all excited? Not the yetzer tov, but the yetzer hara. Zen nikra chait shal nadav v'avihu. Wow. As we learned about in Parsha Shmini and this week's Parsha, Nadav v'avihu brought an esh zara. That apparently is the wrong type of dance. So Rabbi Nachman Breslov would argue that their movement was, we'll say, inspired by a very negative cause. It was the Yetzirah's dance. So this is the perfect springboard for Sfiras HaOmer. Because guess what you're not allowed to do during Sfiras HaOmer? Not allowed to dance. I'll say it's a dance of the Yetzer Hara. So Pesach is now behind us. We are now in the days of Sfiras HaOmer. So why is it a period of mourning right now? What happened this time of the year? Gemara Yevamos Samach Beis Amid Beis explains that the 12,000 pairs, 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva, all died in this short period of time. So that Gemara in Yevamos Samach Beis Amid Beis explains as follows. Rabbi Akiva says, if you learn Torah when you were young, continue learning Torah when you're old. And if you had Talmidim when you're young, have more Talmidim when you're old, right? In that context, the Gemara is talking about Pru Urevu, not stopping to have more and more children, even if you get older. And then the Gemara in that context says, well, if you look at Rabbi Akiva's life, guess what happened? He had 12,000 Zugim Talmidim, and they all died in one time of year. Why? Mipnei Shalo Nagu Kavod Zelazeh. They did not give each other proper honor. The world was desolate. Until guess what? Rabbi Akiva got new Talmidim. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shemua. They restored the Torah. Unbelievable. And the Gemara says this period of death took place in Pesach, the Ad Atzeres. And they all died via the illness known as Askara. Explains the Marsha, Askara is not random. Askara is an allusion to Lashon Hara, that the students were speaking negatively about one another, and there's a Gemara that says Askara is a simon for Lashon Hara. Whoa. And since the Chavrusas, the Talmidim, were not respecting one another, so they were not properly honoring the Torah. These were 24,000 Talmidei Chachamim. So if you make fun of a random Joe, that's really bad. But if you make fun of a random rabbi, that's even worse. De'ein kavod ela Torah. This idea, says the Marsha, is that they really deserve to die because Torah is life and it's a beautiful Marsha, and it was a lack of kavod haTorah. But the Gemara doesn't actually say, therefore don't shave during Sfiras HaOmer. The Gemara just stops at the story. The Gemara says this period of time was a period of time when a tragedy took place. Therefore what? There is no therefore what in the Gemara itself. But you look at the Torah, we don't get married between Pesach and Shavuos. Why? You should not be uniquely happy in this time of year. Why not? Because this is the time of year when Rabbi Akiva's students passed away. So the Re-Gaius is quoted in the Torah as saying, well, what does this include? Does it include a Kululam? Dafka Nisuin. Don't get married. Why not? Because what is a wedding? A wedding in the halacha is the apex of simcha. But what would be permissible? To get engaged. It used to be there were 12 months in between the original engagement and the final chuppah. So you want to get engaged? Not a problem. And even marriage. Let's say you have your eye on Sprinza, but you know another friend of yours also has his eye on Sprinza. So if you wait till Shavuos, what's going to happen? That guy's going to ask the right rabbi for heter, and you're going to lose out. Right? So what's going to happen? Misha kafatz v'kanas ein onchinoso. All right, so we don't end up, we don't lash a guy, we don't punish a guy for, you know, going ahead with the wedding even during this time of year, but we don't advise. And this is a tour quoting, we'll say, a minig of the Gaonim that we'll learn, meaning even though the Gemara never said any formal law of what one may not do during the Sfiras HaOmer period, the Gaonim said, don't get married. Don't get married. It's in the Torah, it's in the Shulchan Aruch. And how is it presented? As a minog. Nohagim. Shelo lisa isha ben pesach la'atzeres. Because that was the time period where Rabbi Akiva's students died. But the Shulchan Aruch says, you can get engaged. All right. And even married if you're afraid of the guy, you know, whatever. If you jump the gun, it's not, you know, you're so nervous someone's going to steal your potential spouse that you couldn't hold off. So you quickly chop the nisuin. Not the end of the world. Okay. So what else would you include in this prohibition? You can't get married and what? Can't go to ETC? No. Can't drink wine? No. Never said that. Just can't get married, right? So we have to figure out what's included. Because if some innocent woman from Fair Lawn says, Rabbi, my life's dream is to go to a live Kul Olam. I davened to Hashem and I fasted for 40 days. And the whole reason why this Kul Olam is in Englewood is only because of my tefillas. Now what, I'm going to leave Hashem hanging? Hashem responded to my 40 days of fasting. How can I not go? So Lowell, is there any reason to say no yet or no? What would you say? Say, well, are you going to marry someone at the Kul Olam? No. You're going to marry the guy with the long hair? No. I'm already married. Good. So Kul Olam so far is kosher? Peter says no. Why not?
Marriage is for a purpose.
Good.
And this concert is totally musical enjoyment.
Yeah, it's simcha. A lot of simcha, and without the mitzvah connected to it. Good. So Peter says, and therefore what, though?
Therefore, no good.
Why not? We never said you can't have a good time. What do we say? You're not allowed to do
Isn't the whole thing?
Ah, Peter says, Rabbi, what's the title of this year? Conduct during Sfirah in Halacha and Hashkafa. What's Hashkafa? The Torah's outlook. And meaning, what the Torah is not just telling you the letter of the law. There's a spirit of the law. Oh, okay, we'll talk about that. Very good, about music. Which types of music?
I have another question.
Okay, so Robin has another question.
Holocaust commemoration
is that background music,
which
yeah.
Is, no, the music, it's the theme this year is Holocaust music, Lost and Found.
Wow.
The composers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where is that program taking place? Oh, you wrote it up already.
Yeah.
It didn't happen yet. But
yeah,
you wrote up the plan.
It's happening.
It's happening.
Sunday, yeah.
Okay. It's an Orthodox run program?
It's Fair and Jewish Center. It's kind of like
Fair, yeah, but who's running it? Meaning it's being rented out or it's run by that?
Federation.
The Federation. Okay, yeah. So that's going to be totally mutter because the goal, we'll learn about that. That's going to be totally permissible.
Though. I would think.
Yeah, really totally mutter.
Yeah.
So we're going to learn about that.
When I was younger, I went to an NCSY convention during
Sphere. NCSY convention during Sphere back in the day.
They said it's part of the
part of the Kiruv, part of the Torah, yeah. So Peter is saying, Mandelstam, watch out for the letter of the law and also keep your eye on the spirit of the law because it's not a wedding, but it's just very happy, very joyous. Not in line with the mourning or the avelus or the somber tone of remembering Rekiva's dead students. So let's watch out for the halacha and the shkafa. But right now, on halachic level, I'm saying you can't get married. Okay, so right now, I'm okay with Kul Olam, but the Mishnah Berurah is going to say the following. Listen, remember the guy who got married to Sprinza in Sfira just because he was afraid of his friend who would backstab him and steal his wife? That's fine. So... That guy, like, wasn't supposed to do that, but, like, all right, we could understand something. Okay. All right, like, we're not going to, you know, whatever. So the what you're really supposed to do is just get engaged. So this way you get the best of both worlds. You don't get married, and you also reserve the wife. Perfect. Beautiful. So Umutter says to the Mishnah Berurah, you can have a l'chaim. You get engaged. There's no wedding. You have shiduchim. Well, you know, you celebrate the engagement, what we'd call colloquially l'chaim. Aval asot rikudin u'micholot, but the dance of the l'chaim? No way. And now here's the kol shekin, all the more so, b'shar rikudin u'micholot, all the more so, to dance and to dance in a communal level with other people, shall rishus, outside the context of a mitzvah. Meaning if you're engaged, at least it's in the context of a mitzvah. But just to dance tam, party, a dance party. Bevadai yesh lizaher. Certainly one should refrain, essentially. So if you're dancing for no halachic reason, you're out. You're out. And even for a wedding, you're not allowed to do during Sevira. Yikes. So my question to someone asking about Kululam is, well, is there dancing? What if the answer is no, there's no dancing. It's just singing. So Kululam is not out yet. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan, it should be noted, explains that it's not only about the death of Rabbi Akiva's students, because unfortunately, says the Aruch HaShulchan, these were Yemei HaGzeros, Pesheros Meos, She'avru B'Tzarfat V'Ashkenaz, namely the Crusades. He's mentioning specifically France and Germany. And there are piyutim that were written specifically to be recited on the Shabbosos this time of year. Where does that still take place? Breuers. Breuers, they still say the piyutim. They're very loyal to tradition there, Spurgeon of Ashkenaz. I'm sure there are other places in the world, but I know, I remember living in Washington Heights, Breuers literally still says piyutim during Sfira. Because this is a time period known, unfortunately, as Jewish persecution. And therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan says, the minhag is Kol Yisrael Mimosa Ga'onim, all the way back to the Ga'onim, almost times of the Gemara, just after the times of the Gemara, to not get married. Okay, so we don't get married. So what else are you not allowed to do? You're not allowed to get married. Okay, again, no dancing. Yikes. So my major question is, what is Usur during Sfira? I know you're not allowed to get married, and I know you're not allowed to dance. What else is not allowed? So Ramosha Feinstein has a tshuva where he says in three places that, listen, I don't think you should ever listen to music ever all year round because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But you know what? I understand that people disagree with me. At least during Sfira, the Ramah is lenient. We have a shir on this on Yom Torah. She says that listen, I know people are against me. Again, we'll talk about that in a second. But the Ramosha says, at least during Sfira, don't listen to music. And this became the mainstream minhag in like America, because that's Ramosha's psak, that we assume that music is an extension of dancing, instrumental music, for sure, live music. Some would extend it to recorded music even. Because it's music, it's like lively. What do you listen to music for? But that's Ramosha's shot, being that Ramosha himself holds that music's always usher. So Ramosha says, I hold it's always usher. At least during Sfira, you should be machmir. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who has the shoulders to disagree with Moshe Feinstein, says, listen, during Sfira, don't listen to music that's going to get you to dance. But what would you be able to listen to? Shira hamiromemes esa adam. Let's say you get inspired. What are you allowed to listen to? Music that won't lead to dancing. So either it's actively good, you listen to a nice, old school Avram Fried, or nowadays, Baruch Levine, whatever, pick your local artist, whatever it is. Benny Friedman, Mordechai Shapiro, Yeshiva Boys Choir, Shoshelis, Amy Rodenberg, they're all great. If they get your neshama inspired, beautiful. Just don't dance.
What about music in the car? Ah,
very good. So Robert says, well, legally and physically, I'm unable to dance while I drive. So that's a good one. That's a good one, right? I've never saw that. And by the way, it's not a small deal because you might not be able to dance with your legs while you're driving, but a nice sway of the shoulders. And by the way, now I'm thinking Kululam because I said, is there any dancing in the Kululam? And guess what? The woman of Pharaoh responded. No real dancing, more of like a sway. Okay. So, Rabbi, your question is a big deal. Now, it should be noted that the tone of the halacha, i.e. the hashkafa, that Peter Weissman was concerned about, is elaborated upon in the footnote in the Halicha Shlom. If Shlomo Zalman's Sefer Halicha Shlom, Hara 54, is something to point out that our Rebbe did not think it was usher to listen to music, but he did not think that you should just give out this heter like candy as well. He says, you should have less simcha in this time. The hashkafa of the days is to tone down the simcha. So if there's a reason to be happy, i.e. in our community, like Yom HaAtzmaut, right? We would say, okay, we celebrate it as a holiday. you know, we take a break of Avelus and we dance all out, live music, etc. in our community. Not in many communities, but in our community we do that. So Rav Shlomo Zalman's Talmidim explained, our Rebbe didn't like giving out this heter. It's just, if something comes up, you have to know what's really usher and what's really mutter. Upam hore lahater negina beklip santar. He allowed someone to play piano bebeit cholanit. Who's a cholanit? I guess some sick woman that was, I don't know exactly what... Not a chiloni, but a cholanit.
Isn't that a psychological woman?
Yeah. I think it was someone who
melancholy.
Was... melancholy, depression, something like that. So there was a cholanit. Not a chola, but a cholanit. I don't exactly know in modern Hebrew. David Oren, what's a cholanit? David? Good for him. He's a smart guy. So a cholanit, whatever. I meant to look it up. It's some form of depression or whatever. So kidei lechazek rucha. So Adam, it's clearly an emotional issue because... the piano cheered her up. Okay, now don't say this too loud, because what's every woman in Fairlawn going to say? I want to go to the Kululam. Why? I'm depressed, right? So they'll get a note from their psychiatrist, you know, or their social worker, and then it's mutter all of a sudden, right? So, but it was really mutter, because Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, listen, we don't allow showers during the 9 days, but if you have lice, that's okay, because you don't, it's not for pleasure, it's to get rid of your lice. So what's the difference between physical lice and emotional lice? A sickness is a sickness. Okay, now we got from Rav Moshe, was very machmir, to Rav Shlomo Zalman, was a little bit more lenient. Meaning, really, music is okay, as long as it doesn't lead to dancing. And sometimes music is very important to uplift the spirit. But then you move on to an even more contemporary poet, like Rav Schlesinger. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Elio Schlesinger is the same one from Gilo. There's a whole line of Rabbi Schlesingers. I'm assuming this is the Gilo one, the original one. And Rav Schlesinger has unbelievable svarim, by the way. And he writes that nowadays everyone needs music. This is my Masorah. I'm not going to tell you the names of Rabbanim who I've spoken to about this, but we listen to music nowadays to get through our day. Like Robert saying in the car. When my high school Talmidim asked, can I listen to music? They're not dancing. They need it to get through their day. It's part of their normal daily routine, like what we would call background music. Nowadays, music is background to life. And he argues that, okay, the real Isser is in the Sefer Sholin V'Dorshin, Chelek Dalet Siman Lamed Zayin, and it's in another one of Svarim also. He says, you're not allowed to dance. You know what it means to dance? It means like to dance at a wedding. So in contrast to a wedding, he says, people who listen to music as Refuas and Efesh, that's okay. And he says it saves them mi daka'on, I guess another form of depression, whatever. And guess what happens if you're not happy? You're going to have even worse thoughts. Don't do it. Keep people happy. He says, keep people happy. Keep people's spirits elevated. And certainly, if the music's getting them inspired, meaning, and let's say the music inspires them to do tshuva. All right, now let's talk about kululams. Because we just saw three distinct poskim. Moshe was like, no way. Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, depends on the nature of the music. And Rav Schlesinger is like, listen, could you let people just not get depressed? Whatever they need to stay happy, kind of like, that's not usher. So Peter, what are you thinking?
Question, is there a difference between live music and recorded?
Of course, yes. So some poets would say, hey, listen, you want to listen to some old tape, you know, to make yourself feel better, that's fine. Doesn't mean you go to a concert. Doesn't mean you go to a concert. Now, the truth is, who is a Y.R. Shishiva who thinks like Rav Schlesinger to a large degree on this particular sugya? Rav Mordechai Willig. Rav Willig felt, like Rav Schlesinger, whose name I just never pronounce fully accurately, that you can't dance. You can't dance. That's what's usher. So my Masorah is to be a little bit more, quote-unquote, chilled out about this. And guess what? When the Chevra here started asking rabbis about the Kululam, that's in England. It's very exciting. People really like Kululams. It's like very liberating. So number one, let me read to you their mission statement from Kululam.com. Kululam is a social musical initiative aimed at empowering communities and strengthening the fabric of society. Through collaborative creative experiences, we bring together people of different backgrounds, cultures, faiths, and geographies. Since our formation, we have shown how we can harness the power of musical harmony and use it to inspire harmony in humanity. Hundreds of thousands of people have already joined the movement to create social change through musical cooperation. Whoa. So very tikkun olam, very, we'll say, 1969-ish, you know, Yaska Farms, you know, whip out some Woodstock. But it works. Peter's like, I was at, yeah, who here was that? Let's be honest. Who here was at Adam Morishah that night? Let's go. So I was not alive in 1969, but I read all about it. I know what you guys were doing in the 60s. So here's the issue. Kul Olam is innocent. They're just not religious. So if a man's asking me, can I go to Kul Olam? No. They're going to be men and women singing together? No. Treif. If a woman is asking me, I say, well, why do you want to go? So this is where it gets very sensitive. It's a case-by-case situation, meaning if it's like, well, I always kind of wanted to see it. Like, Sphere is not really a time for like a live Woodstock festival. But if it's like, you don't get it, Rabbi, like my greatest dream in the world, like I need this. It would give me inspiration for months. Like my great, it really is inspiring. Like if you see what goes out of these things, it's amazing. It's like mankind, I don't know, at its best, but it brings out a lot of good from mankind. So if I were to tell a woman, and I'm not going to say the name, it was not Rav Willig, but another one of my Rabbanim gave me this psak, and he said, listen, if you tell a woman to stand near other women, so her voice won't be heard by other men, and it's uniquely inspiring to her, it's not usher. Not usher. So I don't think we should have a Shomrei Torah trip to the Kul Olam in Englewood, but to call it usher might also be inappropriate, because is there dancing? Not really. More swaying than dancing, you know, and that's not called dancing. Swaying is allowed on Shabbos. You're not allowed to dance on Shabbos. You're allowed to sway on Shabbos. So if you're swaying, you're not dancing. That's okay. If there's no Kolisha issue because you are a woman and you're not singing in front of another guy, that's okay. It's live music. Okay, I'll tell you a secret. Live music might not be usher because you're not dancing. All right, now, does it remind you of the death of Rabbi Akiva's students? By the way, it might. It might. These guys are good. Now, you know, you think of Yom HaShoah. That's an Israeli concept. You think of Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaTzmaut. These are not originally religious days. These are originally Zionistic days. And often Kul Olam actually taps into the neshama of unaffiliated Jews. So the truth is, for, let's say, a non-religious Jew asking, can I go to Kul Olam during Sfira? That's the greatest mitzvah I could think of for you, right? It's an amazing mitzvah. You know, because it objectively, again, it's a very good, wholesome thing. It's not religious, but let's just say room to be lenient, case by case. Anyone disagree with me on that? At least you hear where I'm coming from. Rav Shlaizen Gur, Rav Willig, and even Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. I don't know if he would say that I'm a kofer for saying these things. But again, I spoke to one other Rav who allowed me to speak this out with him. Yes, my friend Lowell.
Yeah, what about like these days after October 7th, like the show of unity?
Yeah, show of unity. So again,
that's a big thing.
Yeah, that's what everyone's doing. I would have safely assumed this Kul Olam is going to be very good for Jews, like especially the non-religious ones, like we're together, Am Yisrael Chai, a lot of that stuff. Again, not religious, but a lot of quote-unquote well-intended humanitarian efforts, kind of like Woodstock. I would say, you know, it's like a Jewish Woodstock. That's really what it is. I'm sure they're going to be non-Jewish there also, but... But an Israeli going to this, and even, you know, a frum chever going, if they're women especially, I'm not opposed. That's my language. I'm not strongly opposed. And not opposed, and dare I say, whoever's asking the question, I might even encourage it. Okay, moving on. All right, let's talk about shaving. I am with you in front of you with a beard, or at least an attempted beard that is around 8 to 10 days old. So why, in addition to not listening to music or at least dancing or getting married, and the minhag is not to get a haircut until Lag BaOmer, because that's when the Talmidim stopped dying. Okay, so the Ramah says our minhag is actually already to get a haircut starting on Lag BaOmer itself, as opposed to the Shulchan Aruch, who said you wait until day 34. The Ramah in Ashkenazi practice is to not wait until day 34, but already by day 33, you can get a haircut. And shout out my brother, the great Rabbi Dr. Lawyer Michael Mandelstam. He's actually a lawyer, but a tremendous Talmid Chacham. He got married on Lag BaOmer or so, and his birthday was May 5th, 2007. It was a great time. So here's a key halacha, because the Biur halacha says, well, you're not allowed to get a haircut. Who's allowed to get a haircut? Well, you can't be more strict than Chol HaMoed. Is anyone allowed to get a haircut during Chol HaMoed? There are people. If you got out of jail, if you got out of prison, if you were Rachman al Tana hostage, right, and you couldn't have a haircut before the Machag, you are allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed, because usually we say get a haircut before the Chag, because why would you wait? You should honor the Chag and get a haircut and shave before the Chag. But let's say someone was an Avel or whatever, you know, like he literally couldn't, right? So the answer is, okay, you couldn't. So therefore you were an onus. It was against your will. You were coerced. it was a extenuating circumstance, so therefore you could get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. So it says the Bura Lacha, Helik HaChavetz Chaim, anyone who's allowed to get a haircut during Chol HaMoed can certainly get a haircut during Sfira. Who took this halacha to the max? The Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik said, guess who else is allowed to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed? Anyone who's an ones. So you know who's an ones? The person who normally shaves every day. So you can also shave during Chol HaMoed, says Rav Soloveitchik. Because I'm an ones. I shave every day. And I couldn't shave today's hair yet. You know why? Because it didn't grow in yet. Meaning, I couldn't shave on Yantif. And now I look like a, you know, whatever, an unkempt professional. I want to shave for work today. So Rav Soloveitchik felt that anyone who shaves every day is encouraged. It's a mitzvah, he would say, to shave on Chol HaMoed. Not the minog. But he says, the mitzvah v'chova nami ika legaleach kidei shelo yemenuvel b'chol HaShemoed. Wow. Unbelievable. So does anyone know people who do that? They shave on Chol HaMoed not to look unkempt during the Chag? Right? To me, it actually does feel a little ironic. I shave every Erev Shabbos, and I go into the final days of Pesach looking a little bit disheveled, with a little bit of an unclean beard. So, you know, because, you know, our minhag is not exactly like this, Hetzer. But Rav Soloveitchik, I remember Rav Yosef Adler in TAPC, he said, it's a mitzvah to shave on Chol HaMoed. You're a strong Talmud of the Rav. Remember Rav Soloveitchik, you quote Rav Soloveitchik like this, and this is from the Nefesh HaRav, Shechter Sefer, Nefesh HaRav. And there also, the Rav explained that, listen, Sfira, at worst, has the halachic status of an Avel in his 12 months, not in the week of Shiva, or not even in the Shloshim Yom. Therefore, he felt like it's totally okay to shave during Sfira. So two heterim come out of Rav Soloveitchik. Not only are you allowed to shave during Sfira, you're even allowed to shave during Chol HaMoed. And I need to tell you, I was once in YU for Shabbos during Sfira. And we all had our Sfira beards. A bunch of single YU Bachrim. And guess who was at the Friday night Oneg Tish question answer that Friday night? The Gadol Rav Herschel Shechter. And he said, you all should have shaved. Now he's the Talmud Muvok of the Rav. Now we understand a little bit more why he felt that way. He said, in Europe, the minhag was never not to shave for Shabbos. And he said, you all look not prepared for Shabbos. You know, it was one of those moments where, like, I just wanted to not be alive. Like I need to not be in this room right now. Rav Shechter was basically telling a bunch of YU guys, who we all know it all, right? We all know what it says in the Halachic Sfarim. They all say, don't shave during Chol HaMoed. So that's what we possibly like. And he says, you're all wrong. You should all shave. You all look like a bunch of dogs. He felt pretty strongly that we made the wrong issue, and we couldn't shave on Shabbos. So that was one of the highlights of my life, being in that room getting rocked by Rav Shechter. Not one of those things you want to happen every day. Again, he was being obviously very polite about it, but he did express his opinion halachically. Okay, so we understand the lamdas a little bit. Again, Rav Shechter, like the Rav, that Sfira is okay to shave because it's like the 12 months of Avelis, which we say you can shave if you normally shave, and even Chol HaMoed, you can normally shave if you normally shave every day. Beautiful. Okay, so let's end with just with a little bit of a shkafa in the final 2 days, 2 minutes rather, of the shir, because there is a transition from Pesach to the period of time that we are in right now. As you pointed out, the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva, they didn't honor themselves the year Chavrusas properly. And guess what the Shulchan Aruch says right after Pesach? There's a minute to fast, Bahab. Another thing that happened in Shalavim, they did Bahab, and YU, they did Bahab. Bahab is an acronym for Monday, Thursday, Monday. Bays, hey, bays, right? Tuesday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, where you essentially fast. We don't really fast, but why would you fast after a regel? What were you afraid of? That during the regel, you got carried away. Like Nadav and Aviv got a little bit too excited, like we learned from Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Breslov. Sometimes you dance the Yetzer Tov, sometimes you dance to the Yetzer Hara. What happens when you have time off and you're around the community? So there might be some boundaries that were compromised, that you were drinking and you were happy and maybe you, whatever, acted inappropriately, a little bit too flirtatious or whatever. So there's a concept of doing tshuva for any of the quote-unquote inappropriate dancing that might have taken place. And what I want to point out from that halacha is that Pesach is a time where sometimes we take those closest to home for granted. Right? Who died during this time of Sfira? Chavrusas. The brand new Haggadah from the great Reb Mordechai Willig, he has a beautiful English essay in the back of his Haggadah, where he says that Rabbi Akiva refers to the special Chavrusa relationship, which is critical to the study of Torah. While a person cannot be expected to love every Jew as he loves himself, he must love and honor his Chavrusa as himself, in all ways and at all times, and not only while sharing Torah knowledge. What was so tragic and so, we'll say, was so bad, was such an error of the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva, is that they specifically took for granted the people who taught them Torah, the people they learned Torah with. And I think Pesach is a time where we spend a lot of time with our family. And what happens when you spend too much time with family? Right? What's the minhag? You get a little bit on each other's nerves. Right? And maybe that's the secret of Bahabi. What did you do tshuva for after the Pesach? You took your family for granted, right? As opposed to maybe having 8 days of a beautiful day and beautiful meals with your kids and your wife. We got annoyed with our spouses. We got annoyed with our children. And what does the Gemara Yevamos say? Ha'oves ishto kegufo. If you love your wife like yourself, machabda yoser migufo. And you honor her more than you honor yourself. That's what the Pasuk in Iyov says. V'yadata kishalom ohalecha. Then you'll have peace in your tent. So perhaps that's the main message of Sfirasa Omer. Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim took for granted those who they should have appreciated the most, the people who helped them grow in their Torah. And for us, how easy is it to take for granted those who love us the most, our spouses, our children? And maybe we're not fasting Bahab and the beginning of the month of Iyar, but there's still tshuva to be done as we approach the Chag HaShavuos, where we all need to be Ishachad B'Lev Echad, and that starts at home. We should all be Zocha to honor our spouses literally more than the way we honor ourselves, and that will be the way to Mekabel the Torah. And okay, we should dance to the Yetzer Tov and not dance to the Yetzer Hara. With that, we shall pray the evening service.